you all. Man. I got to tell you, Progress Oregon, or Progress Iowa, just keeps growing, as does Progress Oregon. And the numbers, my goodness, 75,000 now in the Progress Iowa network. And social media reaching 8.3 million. Go Iowa. And Cindy and Abby coming and joining, tripling the power of the Iowa Democratic Caucus in the House of Representatives. Thank you. Dave's been living a pretty lonely life, and we're glad he'll have company. You know, I'm so glad that all three of them are going, and that Abby and Cindy are adding to go bring some light to that dark cloud hanging over our nation in the form of Donald Trump. And one piece of that darkness is really the horrible way that we're treating children who are fleeing persecution and seeking asylum here in the United States. And it was 6 months ago that I went down to shine the light on child separation, and the response from Americans was powerful, and the response from the courts, and we stopped the child separation. But this weekend, I saw two other facets. I led a delegation down to look at a child prison at Tornillo and family internment camps in Dili, and I tell you what, neither child prison camps nor internment camps have any place in the United States of America. I met this woman who was at the Dili family internment camp, who had been there 6 months with her 15-year-old daughter. 3 days ago, Tuesday, was the daughter's 15th birthday, quinceañera, a very big celebration for somebody coming from Honduras. And our delegation said, please, administration, hold a special event for her, recognize her on her 15th birthday. And the Trump team leading that internment camp said no. And so I took a big card and had about 36 senators sign it. We're sending it to her. And if you want to send her a card, send it to the Dili Pro Bono Project and let that young woman know that she's not forgotten, and all the other children trapped in Trump's prison system were not forgotten either. There are three things that really keep me up at night in the grand vision of America, where we're so far off track. And one of those is the corruption of our We the People Constitution through gerrymandering, through voter suppression, and through dark money. And this is destroying that vision and resulting in government by and for the powerful. So the first order of business in 2021, January, when we have a Democratic Senate and a Democratic President, is to take on all three of those and restore the We the People vision of our Constitution that our founders intended and that we value and hold dear to our hearts. And if we don't do that, we will lose all the other battles that we're fighting. Battles, for example, like taking on carbon pollution, and carbon pollution that's causing great destruction, whether it's the forest fires in the northwest, whether it's the hurricanes in the southeast, whether it's more drought and more floods in between. It's affecting everywhere. We are the generation that has to stop it, and we have to stop it quickly. So let's elect folks who understand that our planet's at risk, and this generation has to be the one to stop it, and we have to do it now to get to 100% clean and renewable energy. Make the earth cool again. And yeah, I did put one of these in the auction item, and it has my kind of life slogan on it, never stop fighting to build a better world, because that's what we have to do now more than ever. And that leads us to the third massive challenge that we have, and that's the complete neglect of working families across this nation. In this kind of government by and for the powerful, we saw it in 2017. We saw it through a tax bill that took $1.5 trillion out of the Treasury add on interest that made it $2 trillion, and it was given to the wealthiest Americans and the most powerful corporations, making income inequality worse, making wealth inequality worse. How about instead we invest that in health care and housing and education and living wage jobs here in the United States of America? Those are the four foundations on which we thrive. Families thrive. Housing, a decent home and a decent community for each of our families here in the United States of America. We can afford that goal, that vision, and it puts a lot of people to work. We can afford the process of having a simple, seamless health care, Medicare for all, so that just by virtue of living in America, you have health care. Now, education is right at the foundation of opportunity. My father used to say, son, if you go through the doors of that schoolhouse and you work hard, you can do just about anything here in the United States of America. Yeah, that vision, because we live in America, opportunity, regardless of the status of your family, regardless of which side of the railroad tracks you live on, that's the vision. That the vision of the American dream that is being destroyed by the underfunding of education in every respect, overcrowded classrooms, not enough shop classes, career technical education, apprenticeship programs, debt-free college so that no one has to worry about debt the size of a home mortgage when they have the opportunity to gain an education in college. Education's the future. Let's restore it to its place to drive our nation to being the best in the world. And nothing makes a difference for a family like a living wage job. And we have seen it eviscerated by bad trade policy and by the war on unions. We see that war on unions right here in Iowa more vividly than anywhere else. I have heard so many people say it's worse here than Wisconsin. How about restoring Iowa to being a state that absolutely puts the working family at the top, living wage jobs, and fights to restore unions across this land? My father said, I'm so proud to be a machinist. And he'd make sure every month we saw the newspaper that said, don't shop here, do shop there, to support good employers and the union movement so that everyone gets a fair share of the wealth they work to create. Because there's plenty of wealth. We're much wealthier we were than 40 years ago when I got out of high school. But how come it's so much harder for a family on education, on housing? How come it's so much harder? Because the system is rigged to send the money to the 1%. Let's unrig it, or put it differently, let's rig it for families to thrive here in the United States of America. We don't win battles without being on the battlefield. We have the vision of David versus Goliath, the little guy against the big guy. And the little guy couldn't have won if he didn't get on the battlefield. And there are so many people who ran for office here in very difficult districts. Those who won get a lot of attention, but let's remember and applaud now those who ran and lost, but they were on the battlefield fighting. We need more of them. When I became Democratic leader in Oregon, we only had 25 out of 60 seats, and people said, we're going to be in the minority forever. I quit my job. We reorganized our fundraising, our candidate recruitment, our consultants. I fired all the consultants. We made them submit proposals to us. That sends shivers down the spine of any consultants who are here in the room. And the result was, in two cycles, we took the majority, and now we don't have 25 seats in the Oregon House. We have 38 out of 60, almost two-thirds. You all made such progress here, but you didn't get the majority. I know it's been a disappointment, but you know what? That progress sets the foundation for taking the House and Senate in 2020 right here and sending a Democrat from CD4. J.D. Scholten gave a hell of a fight. Hell of a fight. David, on that battlefield, he had his sling. And it was a partnership. Those who are elected need a grassroots partnership. We have to work the inside. We have to work the outside together. We have to restore we the people democracy. If we don't do it now, I'm concerned that the income inequality and the power to pull the levers by the 1% become so strong, we may not reclaim it. So let's do it right now in the next 2 years of 2020. God bless you. Let's get on the fight. Thank you.